The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please rise as we begin singing our first hymn.
Thank you.
miserable sinner. Confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temple and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocent spirit of sufferings and death, of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
On this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead of by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I call to God, and he hears my voice.
He redeems my soul and saves
me. Cast your burden on the Lord.
And
give ear to my prayer, O God,
and guide not yourself from my plea for mercy.
My heart is in anguish within me.
The terrors of death have fallen upon me.
Fear and trembling come upon me,
and horror overwhelms me.
But I call to God,
and the Lord will save me.
I call to God, and he hears my voice.
He redeems my soul in safety.
Cast your burden on the Lord,
and he will sustain you.
Thank you. O God, you declare your almighty power above all in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant us such a measure of your grace that we may obtain your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. So we're still on the seventh commandment, and now we're getting to the connections and the applications. What is considered to be our neighbor's possessions or property? Our neighbor's property may include intellectual property such as ideas and writings, which can be stolen by copyright violations, patent infringement, or plagiarism, and also music, software, new movies, and personal information might be stolen on online piracy, computer hacking, or identity theft. How does God provide us and others with our earthly goods? He provides for us through the bounty of the earth, air, water, soil, food, minerals, and so on. Psalm 65. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. And then they also suggest that you read Deuteronomy 8 and Psalm 65. The vocation of parents, family, and neighbors. Hebrews 11. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Proverbs 1. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. By our jobs and careers, 2 Thessalonians 3. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. And then Ephesians 4. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Trinity is from the 8th chapter of Jeremiah. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back, Jerusalem in perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course, as the horse rushes into battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times. And the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Therefore I will give their wives to others, and their fields to those who will inherit them. Because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet to the priest, everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall, In the time of their punishment they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Here endeth our Old Testament reading. Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, the 9th and 10th chapters. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Here endeth our epistle reading. Please rise. Let my vindication come.
Let your eyes behold the right.
O Lord God, my salvation,
I cry out day and night before you.
Chapter beginning with verse 41. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in your day, the things that make for you peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house is a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." And he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were attentive to hear him. Here endeth the gospel reading.
And sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is saved by the prophets. And I believe one holy, catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. This morning is based on our gospel reading from Luke 19, And our theme is Jesus visits you and makes peace between you and God. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus wept over Jerusalem as he makes a horrifying prediction concerning this ancient city, this beloved city by God. Jesus spoke about an event that would happen less than 40 years later, when Roman troops would surround the city, besiege it for months, causing mass starvation, then would break down the city walls, kill thousands of Jews both inside and outside the city, and finally destroy the temple itself, burning it to the ground. The destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD was the worst defeat of the Jewish people had ever experienced, and it effectively ended their hope of ever securing an earthly kingdom again, scattering them throughout the world. And it changed the way they worshiped forever. To this day, there are no sacrifices offered in the temple, because the temple is no more. And the loss of human life was innumerable. They're saints in Christ. And for this reason, Jesus weeps. He weeps because he loves Jerusalem. He loves the Jewish people. He loves because he came to save them, to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. Yet he was rejected and despised by the people that he came to save. Jesus makes this woeful prophecy on Palm Sunday, just a few days before he'd be tried by the high priest and leaders of the Jews and delivered over to the Gentile governor Pontius Pilate to be crucified. Jesus knew full well that he is about to suffer more than any man ever has or ever will suffer. Still, he mourns for this city and its people, because they did not recognize him as the Messiah who came to visit them and make peace between them and God. You cannot look at the destruction of Jerusalem without looking at the end of the age, God's judgment against Jerusalem for her disobedience is a warning against the whole world to repent, because God's judgment is coming. Nevertheless, Jesus' weeping teaches you about this final judgment and how you should prepare for it. First, God's judgment will come. Jerusalem developed a false sense of security. The Jewish religious leaders obsessed themselves with their own self-importance. They thought that they would remain forever. So when the Messiah came, they thought they didn't need him. I mean, they had a temple made with giant stones. It could not be moved. They had their traditions and the respect of the people. They didn't need what God offered. So they rejected God and paid no attention to his warnings, neither from the prophets, John the Baptist, not even his son. So you should heed the warnings God sends you so that you are not caught unaware. Second, Jesus' weeping teaches you that God loves the world. He loves the world. He loves the people who live in it. God does not desire the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their evil ways and live. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus shed his blood to make propitiation for the sins of the whole world. Jesus' weeping teaches you that God desires to save all people. He did not elect some from eternity to go to hell. Jesus did not die for a select few. Rather, Jesus came to earth, took on human flesh. He died for all sins, the sins of all the people. So Jesus weeps, because though he paid the price to give eternal life to all people, many still reject him and reject the life that he gives. You know, you cannot blame God for your own sins. No one can blame God for his own unbelief. When people reject God, it is their own fault. Scripture says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and God has won salvation for all people through Jesus Christ, who made atonement through his blood. Nevertheless, this must be received by faith. It is through faith, through trusting in this forgiveness and salvation for Christ's sake, that one receives eternal life. Still, if one rejects the faith, there is no salvation. Jesus said that Jerusalem, a name which means possessor of peace, did not know the things that make for peace. You see, it is Jesus who makes for peace. With his suffering and death for your sins, he forgives your sins and makes peace between you and God. Jesus said that Jerusalem would be utterly destroyed because they did not know the time of their visitation. It is said that God visits his people with a mighty miracle when it is done. Like when Jesus raised the son of the widow of Nain, God visited his people in Jerusalem when he sent Jesus for the mightiest miracle in all of human history, dying upon the cross to defeat sin, death, and the devil. Jesus' death upon the cross is a mighty miracle because he did it what no other human being could ever possibly do. He made atonement for all sins. When Jesus rose from the dead, assuring you that forgiveness and salvation are indeed one for you whose sins he bore. And God visits you today through his Son. God reveals to you the makings of peace. And as with Jerusalem, many reject this visitation. Still, just as there were crowds that welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem with shouts of Hosanna, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, so also do many accept God's visitation today and receive the peace from God which surpasses all understanding. However, how does God visit you today through his Son? How do you recognize your visitation? I mean, Jesus doesn't walk into your town as he did into Jerusalem. Nevertheless, Jesus did promise you that he would be with you to the end of the age. God visits you through his holy word and sacraments. God has visited you through your baptism. By the power of the word of God, that washing you receive, not just one of water, but a washing of the Holy Spirit. God joined you to the death and resurrection of Christ. Scripture promises that all who have been baptized have put on Christ. That baptism washes away your sins, gives new birth by the Holy Spirit, and indeed gives eternal salvation. So closely as God joined Jesus to the promise of baptism, You can rightly say that those who have received baptism have received Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, baptism is not the only way that God visits his people. No, he continues to visit you through the preaching of his word, through the pastor declares the forgiveness of sins. Jesus himself promises he himself is forgiving you through your pastor's words. Christ's true body and blood, the same that were pierced and shed upon the cross, Jesus feeds you under the bread and wine. You see, Jesus still visits you today. He visits you throughout your life, and in every time that he visits you, he joins you to his cross, where he died to take away your sins. And he joins you to his resurrection, where he secured for you your victory over death. And he does this by baptism, absolution, the preaching of the gospel, and the sacrament of the altar. These are all means by which God gives you the same Jesus who died and who rose for you. That this visitation can only be received by faith. Still, most reject the faith. Why do most reject it? Because mankind is totally corrupted by sin. Since your first parents' fall, you have all been born in sin. The common refrain that children are not born haters, but that they must learn to hate, is simply not true. Everyone is born with hate in his heart, and it is called original sin. Original sin produces actual sins. It makes you selfish. Children certainly don't need to be taught to be selfish. They are selfish. And if that selflessness is not curbed from rules and laws, then selfishness leads to worse and worse behavior. Original sin rejects God. Scripture says that, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked. We all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath." It is impossible for children of wrath who are dead in their trespasses to accept God. This is why St. Paul says, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit must, in his mercy, create faith in your hearts. He must make you alive in Christ Jesus so that you can receive him as the one who makes peace between you and God. The Holy Spirit makes you alive in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That is the good news, that Jesus bore your sins and rescued you from hell. But sinners still reject this good news if they don't think they need it. And that is your natural state in original sin. You don't think you need Jesus. You don't think you need forgiveness. You don't think you need the atonement. You don't need your sins to be covered and washed away with Christ's blood. And you're doing just fine without it. And this is how Jerusalem was. And this is how the world today is. God laments through the prophet Jeremiah that his people do not recognize their sins. They continue headlong with horses into battle in all types of idolatry, adultery, and other abominations. And they aren't at all ashamed. They aren't in the least bit embarrassed that they have offended God. They have no fear of God because they believe the lies of the prophets and the priests who tell them that God is at peace with them. God is fine with them living the way they are living and the way they want to live. Does that sound familiar? Isn't that the prevailing teaching of most religious institutions today? And this is a dangerous teaching, that you don't need to repent and turn from your sins. You need God's law. You need to be told that you are sinners. You need to be told when you are doing wrong, when you are not placing God as first in your life, when you are living contrary to God's law, when what you are doing is hurting your neighbor. You need to know that the wages of your sin is death and eternal damnation. You too need to be warned about God's judgment against sin. If not, you will see no need for Jesus, no need for his cross and forgiveness. Without the preaching of the law, you will be content without Jesus. Well, Jesus preached the law. He told the scribes and the Pharisees that they were not as good as they thought they were, but were whitewashed tombs with no righteousness within them. So when he wept for Jerusalem, he was warning them to turn from their unbelief. Jesus drove out the sellers and money changers from the temple so that people would learn what the temple was there for. And Jesus wants you to hear the preaching of the law today so that you never forget that you need him, so that you recognize his visitation as a precious treasure that takes away your sin. It is Christ's visitation itself that creates saving faith in sinners who mourn their sinful condition. The Holy Spirit works through the preaching of the gospel to create saving faith in your heart, because God's word is powerful and God's word is comforting to those who are sorry for their sins. Dear saints in Christ, if you reject Christ's invitation, that is your own fault. However, if you accept, receive, or embrace Jesus' visitation, all credit goes to God, the God who created faith in your heart through the preaching of the gospel. Many question how God can at the same time desire all people to be saved, but not all are saved. Nevertheless, you have no right nor ability to delve into the hidden will of God. You can only know God and his message as he reveals it to you. And the message that God reveals to you is this: though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. And this is only done by the atoning death and victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through faith in the work of Christ Jesus, you have certainty that God is pleased with you, that your sins are forgiven, that God has chosen you to be an heir of his kingdom. Through faith in Jesus, you know that your baptism washed away your sins and clothed you in Christ's righteousness. Through faith in Christ, you know that he does not weep over you, but that he rejoices over you, even as he prepares a place for you in the heavenly Jerusalem, where there will be no weeping forever. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for Christ Jesus, in whom we receive the things that make for peace. Keep us trusting in him and eagerly expecting his final day of visitation. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, your name be hallowed among us. Preserve it through pure and right teaching in our churches and in our lives of our children, lived according to your holy word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, your will is for the good of your people. You gather your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Preserve our families, especially the children of Christian parents, that they may grow in the knowledge of you and of Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, bless Donald and all who govern us in your stead. Keep them from the folly of opposing your holy word and your church, and give them wisdom to govern justly in accordance with your good and gracious will. We also ask that you watch over, guard, and keep our servicemen and women in your protective care, especially Gordon, Brandon, John, Dylan, Rebecca, Aiden, Donovan, and Emily. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Brad and Clara continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally, with all the saints, the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, deliver your servants from every evil of body and soul. Provide for those in need and grant endurance to the afflicted, including your dear children, Carol, Steve, Alice, Pastor Coop, Kathy, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Leisha, Robert, Roger, Deb, Robin, Mary, Bobby, Billy, Carl, Carol, and the Clap Baby. Restore them to health speedily according to your good and gracious will. Keep them together in the ark of your church until your final day of visitation. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O God, Father in heaven, we thank you for the holy things that make for us peace. The cross of your Son, his resurrection from the dead, your blessed word of forgiveness, the washing in your holy name, and the feast of your Son's body and blood. Grant us your peace through the means of these graces, that we may be your people and dwell with you forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We know that these petitions are pleasing to you, Heavenly Father, and that you hear them for the sake of Christ Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we sing hymn 307.
Thank you.
and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ. Take, drink. Of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed the remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ. Shed the forgiveness of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Christ, given to death for your sin. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep me baptismal grace. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep me baptismal grace. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep me baptismal grace. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee.